So today, we're going to be talking about Jesus and the disciples during the Passover. And the Passover celebrates the time that God liberated the Jews, the Hebrews, from the Egyptians. And saved their sin and brought them out of captivity by the power of blood. To help us understand that a little better, I thought I'd tell you a story. There was a little brother and sister, and the sister was very sick. And they decided the only way she was going to live was if she could have a blood transfusion from somebody with healthy blood. Now, the little boy had had the same thing a few years before, but not very bad, and he had fully recovered. So they decided it was the little boy that needed to give his sister blood. So the doctor sat down with the little boy and he said, "Would you give your blood so your sister could be healthy?" And the boy thought a minute and he looked concerned and his lips started trembling. And then suddenly he smiled and he says, "Because I love my sister, I'll give her my blood." And so a little while later, the two of them were wheeled into the hospital room, and they didn't say anything to each other, but they smiled at each other, the weak and pale little girl and the healthy and strong little boy. And so as the nurse put the needle in the little boy's arm and he saw the blood beginning to flow out through the tube, then his smile disappeared. And as it was about over, he looked at the doctor and he said, "When do I die?" And it was at that point the doctor realized that his hesitation and his concern was that he thought when he gave his sister his blood, he also would give her his life and he would die for her. Sorry. And that's what Jesus does for us. He gave us his blood to cover our sins, that we might live forever. Father, we thank you for this time this morning in your word. We just ask that you would use it to open our hearts to who you are more deeply, that you would just help us see you more clearly. And so, Father, I just lift up this time to you and praise you. And just worship you in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 22, just a few verses. It's about the Passover. And it's about the Passover lamb. So the time has come. As we learned last week, everything is beginning to take shape quickly as we move towards the Passion of the Christ. I'm not talking about the movie. The Passion of the Christ means the last week, the last few days of Christ's life. Now, Satan has entered into and is now controlling the traitor Judas. The religious leaders also allowed themselves by their evil desires to be influenced by the prince of this world. Judas and the religious leaders have made a bargain and agreed upon 30 pieces of silver. And Judas is selling out King Jesus for a few months' wages. The religious leaders keep plotting for his murder and they feel the price they paid was a bargain. They're all in complete agreement. And it says in the scriptures they were glad. At least on that day they were glad. But soon things would change. Jesus was going to be betrayed by one of his inner circle of his followers, one of his disciples. And as King David had written so many years before, he said, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." And that traitorous, deceitful kiss was not long away. In our text today, there are a few things as we work through it I'd like you to take notice of. First is the timing of these events. The Jewish leaders are scheming to arrest Jesus. All the religious leaders have agreed that they've got to do something because they can't let this guy continue to teach at the temple, for he threatens their positions and the people are listening. Second, as they schemed, their constant question before him is, how can we silence this Jesus? They knew they couldn't arrest him during the day because there were so many people that followed him and surrounded him. So they were going to wait until after the Passover. But Judas had given him an opportunity. And if they were going to act on that opportunity, they needed to do it quickly before the Passover began. And at a time and place where Jesus was either alone or there was very few people with him. So Judas's mission now is to seek out such a time and place to alert the leaders so they can take Jesus quietly. Above all, it must be done quickly, quietly, and if possible, secretly. And so we observe evil is just scrambling. All these people are scrambling as they try to bring together the loose ends so they can accomplish Jesus' arrest and murder. But third, take notice of this. Jesus has never been more deliberate. He has never been more on schedule. Jesus is not scrambling. He is not in a frenzy. He's not trying to work things out. Jesus is calm, cool, and collective. Everything is being accomplished as Jesus desires and as God has planned from eternity past. Jesus is prepared. He is ready for the crucifixion, and the time will come soon. The scriptures teach that blood is the source of life, and that has always been true physically. But now it will also be shown to be true spiritually. By the blood of Jesus, God's eternal Passover lamb, for those who believe, all traces of sin are covered, and God chooses to remember them no more. As we read in Hebrews, in chapter 10, it says, the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us after saying this, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Only Jesus, as God, has the authority to forgive sin, but he even goes beyond this. He takes sin away. Let's pray as we begin to look and study God's Word. Father, help us understand this passage this morning. It's short, but it has much in it for us to learn. And Father, we just praise you for your Word, for it is too a life source to us. In Christ's name, amen. So we need to understand that the Passover is really being orchestrated and controlled. Reading Luke chapter 22, verse 7, it says, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Well, Jesus is God's eternal and Passover lamb, as the triune God planned this from eternity past. Reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he said, in him we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. So the question before us this morning as we work our way through this passage is, do you believe without doubt, do you believe in your very soul that God directed every moment of Jesus' life, including the Passover, the crucifixion, His death and resurrection? Do you understand that all of it, every detail was planned before creation? This most wicked event in all history was planned by God, but He allowed it to be carried out by the prince of this world and by evil men influenced by Him. Why? Because God had a plan. This most wicked event not only resulted in the death and resurrection of His Son, but it resulted in the salvation of mankind. Jesus made clear, He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that for whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." This is what we must believe to be saved. We must understand today that not only was Jesus decreed by God to be crucified for our sins before the world began, as we learned last week, but we need to understand this week that it follows a very specific time schedule. I mean, in order for Jesus to be God's Passover lamb, He had to be sacrificed on the Passover. And from the time of Exodus, almost 1,300 years before, the first Passover took place. And on the Jewish calendar, the Hebrew calendar, that made the Passover the sunset of the 14th, which becomes the 15th of Nisan. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, we have the recorded account of the first Passover. I encourage you to read it when you get home. Patrick's going to read it in just a minute. To understand Luke completely, we must look at Exodus chapter 12 for the richness of the first Passover so that we can understand the purpose of the last Passover. So turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Well, one of the first things we see in this process is that the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. It's 13 months, not 12 like ours. And so Tishri is the first month of the year. However, what happens with Exodus, God changes the Hebrew calendar. God commanded that the month of Nisan would be the first month of the religious year, and Tishri would be the first month of the civil year, or the Jewish New Year. So you need to understand the Jewish system, even today, operates on two calendars, a civil calendar and a religious calendar. And so it's the 10th of Nisan that the Passover lamb is chosen, they're singled out, and they're marked for slaughter. This is just what happened with these evil priests with Christ. They marked Christ to be slaughtered. The Passover lamb was often a bitter lesson for a Jewish family, especially for children. The lamb was chosen on the 10th. It was clean. It was brought into the house, and it was fed and cared for, and the children treated it much like a pet for 4 days. At the end of 4 days, the father would then take his knife and slay the lamb. And he would start by slitting its throat and bleeding it. So just as it was a bitter lesson for the children of the cost of covering sin, so Christ is a bitter lesson for the world for the cost of our sins. The blood of the lamb was painted on the door frame to symbolize the first Passover. And the angel of death saw the blood and he passed over the house of the Jews in Egypt on the first Passover. And God was soon going to see the blood of His own Son. And his blood then would make God pass over the sins of all who believed in his son as the Messiah. This was God's plan from before the world began. Apostle Peter wrote, he said, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world." And then the last prophet of the Old Testament, he knew God's plan, because John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do you think John did not understand the significance of calling Jesus the Lamb of God? So we come to understand that Jesus was God's Passover lamb before there was ever a Passover. It is God who brought a perfect lamb, his only son, to be sacrificed. When Jesus died, the death angel would forever pass over God's people. Jesus' blood frees us from sin and death and gives us life eternal with Jesus Christ. Returning back to Exodus chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight." Well, when we read the account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we know that the Lamb of God was sinless. Jesus was sinless without sin. But the Bible also tells us in Luke chapter 23, it says, "It was now in the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." Well, Jesus didn't die at twilight. He died during the day. So what did God do? He made the day twilight. He darkened the skies. So Exodus 6 would remain true because God's word is forever true. Now, also notice how Jesus himself puts things into motion here. He sends out two of his most trusted disciples, Peter and John, and he says, "Get everything ready for God's ordained Passover." Reading from Luke 22, verses 8 to 13, it says, "So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' They said to Jesus, 'Where will you have us prepare it?' And Jesus said to them, 'Behold, when you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is your guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large room furnished, prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover." See, Jesus is always in charge and always has a purpose for everything he does. So let's go back and look at more detail at verses 8 and 9, where it says, "Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' And they respond to Jesus, saying, 'Well, where will you have us prepare it?'" This ties into what we learned last week about Judas betraying Jesus to the chief priests in secret. Judas met the priests, as we saw last week, behind closed doors at night. And Judas's mission was to find a time and a place where the priests could send their temple guards and arrest Jesus with very few people around. So if Jesus had told Peter and John, "Hey, I want you guys to go to Benjamin's house on the narrow street where the Ginnon Spring runs into the Pool of Siloam and prepare the Passover meal." If Jesus had given instructions like that in detail, Judas would have had all the information he needed to send to the chief priests and have Jesus arrested during the Passover meal, which would have been very private with very few people. So it's not the appointed time for Jesus' arrest. So Jesus instructs Peter and John in a very different way. It's interesting. And he tells them to go. And it's natural for Peter and John to say, well, where are we supposed to go to prepare this? So we need to understand at this time, Jerusalem is just a turmoil of people. 2 million people everywhere. Literally, there was not a room to rent. People were sleeping and camping in the streets. And this is why later Jesus and the disciples went to the Mount of Olives to sleep. Secondly, their question was prompted because they wanted to know where they were supposed to go. But rather than giving specific instructions, Jesus tells them something very interesting. He is not going to allow Judas to know where they're going, so he can't be betrayed at that time. So Jesus tells Peter and John in verses 10 and 12, to 12, he says, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. Tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room? Where I may eat the Passover with my disciples,' and he will show you a large room furnished. Prepare it there." Jesus had to remain secretive about where they were going to celebrate the Passover to keep Judas from betraying him until the right time. And he still had a lot to teach the disciples. We know there's a whole teaching called the Upper Room Discourse, and it was extremely significant for the disciples, and it is for us, and we'll look at it here in the near future. But how does Jesus pull off telling his two disciples to go and not alert Judas? Jesus knew of Judas's betrayal before he ever did it. And so Jesus knew that even though there was 2 million people in Jerusalem during that time, that his guys would find the proper man. And so Jesus sends them out, and you have to think about this. There's a couple things we need to notice about this, is that first of all, you know, going to the spring, going to the well to get water was women's work. At that point in time, men simply did not go and get water at the well. Going to the well and getting water was a social time for the women. That's where they would gather. And so, you know, the disciples are just going to be blown away how Jesus controls every little detail. And so in Luke's account, we see that how sovereign Jesus is, because it says in verse 13, he told them to go. And so the men, in the midst of these men scheming and deception and betrayal, Jesus is in total control. He carries out the Father's plan. Off go Peter and John, and they do it out of obedience and faith. And they enter this crazy city with all these people, and they encounter a man carrying a jar of water, and he approaches them. He directs them to follow him. And it kind of reminds me when I was traveling around the world doing ministry, I would often go to a new country and a new town, and I had no idea who was going to meet me and pick me up. In fact, I was on a plane one time. I'm going into a country, and the man next to me opened up a conversation, and we're talking, and he looked at me, and he says, "Well, where are you going to be in the country?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, who's picking you up at the airport?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he just looked at me and he couldn't believe it. But what it did, it opened up an opportunity for me to share the gospel with him and how God orchestrates everything and takes care of things so that I could come into a country where I knew no one and quickly would know the people I needed to know. And so, you know, it was just a great experience sharing the gospel with this guy on the plane, because he just couldn't believe somebody would travel that way. Back to the man with the jar of water. So we understand how unusual this was, because it was a woman's chore. And so here in this crowd of people, it wasn't that hard to spot the only man in the entire city carrying a big jug of water. And so they follow the man. They go to the house. They approach the master. And with Jesus's words, they said, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room that we may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And again, there's no debate. There's no discussion. God has ordained this. The master takes them upstairs and into this large furnished room, it says. And amazingly, the room is furnished. It's ready. It's not only has a table and cushions and things. It's implied in this passage that even everything needed for the Passover meal is there. And Peter and John just had to be absolutely amazed. Everything is unfolding exactly as Jesus said it would. And so here's the lesson that we should learn from this small act of Peter and John. We too need to trust and obey. Often we don't see the result. We don't see the ending. But God knows the ending. And so we need to just be trusting and take one step at a time and be obedient to God. Just as Paul wrote in Philemon, he said, "I hear of your love and of the faith that you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ for all saints." Isn't that exactly what we should be living? And he says, "I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ." That was supposed to be the disciples' lives. And as we read it, they had a few hiccups. But overall, that's what they lived. And that's exactly what we should live. We are called to live faithful lives, because if we are not living faithful to Jesus Christ, what good will our testimony be? So here the disciples see every detail is unfolding and they're amazed. Well, I think we too can be amazed. We have the advantage they don't have. We have the completed written word of God, so we can look back and see how God was in control of every detail and be amazed. We should understand how much God cares for us and He loves us. You know, God is so caring. He loves us in good times and in bad, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. A love and cherish He has for us until death we are united. That's the difference. The process of sanctification in our life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he says, "Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us celebrate the festival." Okay, what was the old festival? The Passover. But with Christ, the Passover was not done away with, because it says we're to do it forever, right? But it was changed. Just like God changed the Jewish calendar, He changes the Passover into the Lord's Supper. And our salvation by the blood of the Passover lamb. No longer do we have to slaughter lambs to cover our sins for a few moments, let alone days or months. And so it says, not with the old leaven. The old leaven is the Jewish system. It was broken. It wasn't working anymore. Therefore, God sent Jesus. And the leaven of malice and of evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, who had leaven of malice and evil? The Jewish leaders, the high priests. And who has unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? Jesus Christ. See, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, he is the last sacrifice. There is no more Passovers to offer multiple sacrifice. Jesus is the last. He is the final. He is the eternal sacrifice. There are no more Passovers. We are people of the new covenant. We celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Jesus. The question before each of us is, are we holding on to the past, just like the Jewish people were? Are we still looking to the systems and the rituals of the world to guide us instead of finding our comfort in Jesus? Have we truly let the blood of the Lamb of God cover us and cleanse us from our sin? And has he truly become not just your Savior, but your Lord and your King? Are you truly sold out to be his servant, his slave? As John declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus is the only one that does this. But there are some conditions. We must believe and we must obey. I pray to you, I pray for you, and I pray for myself that we don't trust in the systems of this world. They're broken. They work sometimes, but mostly they don't, as history has shown us. And we're in a difficult turmoil time right now where everything seems to be, it doesn't matter what position you take, there's somebody ready to be in your face and get violent about it. So we need to be the people of peace. We need to be just like the Hebrews in Egypt and depend on the Passover lamb to cover us, to protect us. And so we must trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, the true Passover lamb. I also pray that we see clearly that everyone who trusts Jesus Christ, even though we remain sinners, we're saved. But everyone who does not trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is condemned. In Egypt, all who didn't have the blood of the Lamb painted on their doorposts suffered the loss of the firstborn, both Egyptians and Hebrews alike. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Even the richest man in Egypt, Pharaoh, lost his firstborn son. What matters is, are you covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? For without it, you will suffer eternal loss. Without the blood of God's Lamb, all those who do not know him will suffer the same fate as the firstborn of Egypt. This should put an emphasis on us. This should give us a passion to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he is our only hope. You know, in some ways it doesn't matter if we die before Jesus comes or we're still on earth when we see him coming on the clouds. If we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we are fine. If we have not, it's too late. It's too late for eternity. It's too late for people to ever, as other religions teach, get a second chance. It is too late, and they will spend the rest of eternity in hell. And I can't think of anything worse than that. So I hope this story this morning, this passage this morning, that you see how God is so miraculous. He is so amazing. He controlled everything. And through this horrible event that's going to take place in the scriptures in just a few weeks, through this horrible event comes the salvation of mankind. Something that men could have never dreamed of, never guessed of. When we look at all the man-made religions and all their writings, it is so easy to see it's written from man's logic. I think it is also easy to see when we read the scriptures, the breadth of scriptures, it is from God's logic, not man's. So let's embrace the Word of God. Let's embrace Christ. And let's share the gospel with all those we meet. Father, we thank you for this time in your Word, for this passage you've given us, for that we can see even through all this craziness of the Passover, all these events just swirling around everywhere, man trying to control, you control man. You control destiny. You control it all. And it came about just as you determined. Thank you, Father, for your Word. It is life. Amen.